Okay, so I'm here today with you're not an MPE, but another person that's in this MPE world that I know in real life, Dana.
Hi.
And Dana is, I don't know, it's a triple story. It's insane, the story. Hi, welcome to Missing Pieces MPE Life. This is Don Anderson. I'm your host. This is Season 4, Episode 2, Dana, Wife of a Biofather. Before we get started, I want to remind you guys, I have all kinds of exciting merchandise on Printified, all of which would make great Christmas presents for any MPE out there. So, to go to Printify and support the show, it's missingpieces.printify.me. And Printify's print, IFY.me. Support the show. I want to make a shout out to Sherry and her crew up in Northern Michigan. Sherry was the double NPE on the aptly named episode. And she recently hooked up with this group that kind of formed. There's like 8 of them now that live in Northern Michigan. And they've all kind of like our MPEs, donor conceived, late discover adoptees, and they've all kind of banded together and have lunch and stuff. And I'm so happy that they found each other, so happy that they have community. And it just warms my heart. So I'm going to call you guys the Nomi Girls. That's N-O-M-I for Northern Michigan. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I'm so excited. It's my favorite holiday. And this year, for the first time, in a long time, one of my siblings is going to be here. One of my new sisters and her husband are coming, and I'm so happy and excited and grateful. And all 3 kids are going to be home too, so it's going to be a special day. I hope you enjoy yours. Now, back to Dana and her story. But we've known each other, what, 20 years?
15.
15. Yeah, and like not like hanging out every weekend, but you're closer to my wife than you are to me. But we used to see each other like once a week. And so I mentioned to a social situation we were in that I was an NPE. I didn't use that word, but she was like, oh, my God, I got to talk to you. And so here we are. So let's start off by, why don't you say your name as much as you want to, where you're from, where you live, just a little bit of identifying information.
Sure, because that also ties us in together, which is just so hilarious.
Yes.
I'm Dana, and my husband is Jimmy, and we live here in California, but we're from the Midwest. And so, come to find out, Lisa, your wife, is from Michigan. I'm from Michigan. We were neighbors, just didn't know each other there. And my husband is from Illinois. You guys are both from a very small town in Illinois area. The tri-state, is that what you call it? The tri-state?
Quad cities.
Quad cities, that's right.
Everybody gets, you call it the Twin Cities, the tri-state. But yeah, and it is so bizarre that, because I've never met Jimmy, your husband, but he went to my rival high schools.
I mean,
the school that we hated, right?
With all the secrets you guys have uncovered, I wouldn't be surprised if your families ran around in the same circles.
I know. I actually asked my brother, I'm like, do you know him? Because my brother also used to date somebody from that high school.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's a small NPE world.
And so here's the part I know least about. And so let's spend a little bit of time. So you were adopted.
I'm adopted.
So just tell me about that, like how you grew up and did you grow up knowing and that kind of thing?
Yeah. So I'm adopted and I knew from the time I was small, not even old enough to understand really what it meant that I'm adopted, which I deeply appreciate my mother, the woman who raised me, for telling me. So there wasn't that big secret in my world and my life. It didn't change that there were feelings, and every time there was household tension that I wished I could go find my birth parents.
Because in your head, they're saints, right?
Right. Or that I would be appreciated and better understood with my own blood.
And did they have any other kids?
They had twins when I was 12 years old. So I'm 12 years older than my sisters.
So
and they're all in Michigan.
Were they donor conceived or anything?
No. She was told that she would not be able to have babies, which is why she adopted me. And then she and her husband at the time divorced. They adopted me here in California and then she moved with me to Michigan and remarried and spontaneously was pregnant at the age of 38, which this was 1980. Was considered a geriatric pregnancy, so high risk. She had 7 blood transfusions when she gave birth to my twin sisters. And then the whole AIDS scare. Reality.
Because of the transfusion?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was a very stressful time. But so I always knew that I was adopted. And for the most part, I've always been grateful for the family who raised me, in spite of pain, you know, always being different, always being sort of, you know, the blonde sheep in the family. Everybody's Italian, Irish in my family, so they're all dark haired.
Right. And so when you were, the twins are different father than the father you grew up
with. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
How old were you when they got divorced?
My father who raised me is my stepfather, and he's their biological dad. So.
Oh, so the.
But my.
Her husband that adopted you did not raise you.
I did not know him. I knew him. He sent birthday and Christmas cards every year, but my mom's relationship with her ex-husband was strained. So I didn't face-to-face meet him until I was 21.
Oh, wow.
And we have a relationship. So I have that whole extended family. And then I have my parents who I grew up with. And then I just did Ancestry.com 4 years ago.
And what did you find out there?
I found my birth mother. And so I've been getting to know her and building a relationship with her for the last 4 years. And I would say that though my story is different than an NPE, there are some feelings and parallels in the journey.
We first talked about it that first night.
Uh-huh.
I thought there was a little regret maybe that you had found them because it wasn't so wonderful.
It's complicated. No, I don't regret it. I'm grateful. It's complex. I think it comes down to expectations on all sides, right? We have a saying, expectations lead to resentments. And it's bonus having extended family. But there have been some, let me say this. There have been some additional, if there were already wounds in being adopted, I have a wonderful family who raised me, but there's still always a feeling of rejection just at being adopted, that somebody didn't want you, gave you away, couldn't do the job for whatever reason. So there's probably like underlying abandonment stuff there. And then meeting the person, there's wounds there. And some of those have been reopened. And I've had to mother myself to recover or, you know, process.
Any siblings that you were found?
No, she never had any other children. My birth mother, her reasoning was she needed to get an education. It was very important to have an education, which is a fair, just, valid reason. Hurts. And so maybe those words were a little hurtful. Whereas her sister, who's the one who connected with me on Ancestry.com, she was the one who was looking for me. And she was the one who reached out initially and said, I think you may be my niece. And she was diagnosed with breast cancer shortly after we connected. And she said to me, Dana, I'm going to beat this thing. And when I meet you, I'm going to kiss you on your forehead right where I kissed you when you were a baby. That was healing. And that was what I needed to hear. And so I'm gifted. I got to hear it. I just didn't get to hear it from my birth mother. And so it's been a journey. It often feels like there are not a lot of questions for me. And when I ask questions, there's a lot of storytelling, but it's not reciprocated. And that feels also, again, like another rejection. Like, would you like to know me? You know?
Right.
So that's where those complicated feelings come in.
And then any sign of the birth father?
I've been processing this for 4 years and my sponge is full. And he's close if he's still alive. He's close. Location-wise, and maybe meeting him would be actually very healing in other ways, but I'm just not ready.
But did they have a relationship?
They had a relationship, as like you said, a continued relationship for a few years after placing me up for adoption, and then they eventually parted ways, and she is married and lives up north in the Pacific Northwest. So we've gone to visit there. They've come here. It's ultimately very lovely. It's just it's a different relationship.
So as everybody might be thinking, we're not really here to talk about the adoption. We're here to talk about something else that I think you're going to be the first person in the world on this podcast.
On this podcast.
That is going to speak from this viewpoint.
Certainly not the first person in the world. Thanks, 23andMe. Thanks, Ancestry.com.
How long have you guys been married, by the way?
So we've just celebrated our 20th anniversary.
Nice.
So we met her 5 years ago. So we would have been 15 years into our marriage. We have one child, a daughter, Priscilla. And she was 15 at the time. And we were out to breakfast on a Sunday morning, and my husband sat me down and said, I want to tell you that a woman reached out to me on Facebook. She thinks that she is my daughter, and she's sending me a DNA kit. And I burst into tears, didn't want to hear the rest of it. I knew right away it had to be, and it was surely going to be true. I was...
Why did you know? Just gut feeling?
Yeah, gut feeling and knowing my husband. I'm sure he was probably practicing promiscuity without any protection. Hey, that clear, there's just woman, one, it would be a surprise.
Did he tell you right away how old she was so you knew if it was before your marriage or not?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It was definitely before we were married. He was only 21 years old when she was conceived. So, and it was a one-night date.
Wow.
Amazing. They worked in the same place. That was my initial reaction, and I think it was just fear.
Why did you
react? Why burst into tears?
Yeah.
Why was I reacting this way? I didn't know, you know?
And I'm not saying it was wrong. I just...
I don't know why I was having such a bad negative reaction to it, but fear and how this was going to change our family dynamic. And now in hindsight, I can identify I was scared of how this would impact our immediate family. And, you know, to this point, our little immediate family was all his, right? We were his everything. And now that energy is going to be shared. And how is that going to be shared? Is one just obvious idea of why I reacted that way. Two, like I said, a little bit of embarrassment. Like, oh, you were so reckless in your youth that you didn't know that you had children out there walking around. That's another thing. And then just ego, right? But the biggest thing, I think, for me was this. I love being a mother. And it's the most fulfilling role I've ever had in my life. And I wanted more children. And we tried for years. And for whatever reason, I was not able to have more children after I had Priscilla. And she's always wanted a sibling. And now she gets to have that big sister. And I wasn't the one who gave her that sibling. And that's painful still. It's painful still that I haven't been able to have more children, even into my, you know, midlife. So I think that was the crux of it.
Right.
That initial reaction.
And then what happened next? So she sent him the DNA kit. Did they talk in between that time?
They were talking all through Facebook initially. Then he took the DNA test. Then it was a match. You know, 99.999. All you had to do was look at a picture of her. And I was like, oh, yeah, for sure. No doubts about it. You know, 100%.
And how did she track him down? I don't mean to use that word, like he was abandoned.
Well, she did a deep dive, right? Her story is, and I should let her tell her story, but I will keep her anonymity to protect her privacy. But her part of the story was that she did Ancestry.com for fun for Christmas presents. And when the results came back that she was half siblings with her brother, it blew up the family. And her mother didn't want her to pursue it. And she did. Followed it all the way down. And I think she had to go beyond Ancestry.com. And I'm not sure what all other tools she used. But she reached out. She connected with somebody who was Jimmy's cousin. And Jimmy's cousin was very hesitant to put her in touch directly with him for all the same reasons that we've already listed.
So does he have brothers?
Yes.
Jimmy? So a lot of times people will, okay, we know it's one of these three brothers, which is why you have to test
the brothers.
Because that's what I was just asking. Like, why did she have to test him if she figured it out?
Not
just
sure.
Just to be 100% sure.
Well, maybe to
or
make
99.9.
Maybe right, and maybe to make him sure.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So.
And so, how did he react at first?
Oh, he was over the moon. From the word go, he was, as we were talking before we got on air, he was like a teenager in love.
From the get?
Which is also part of why my feelings were so negative. It was really weird to be in that dynamic, witnessing him and his reaction and how he was behaving. He said to me at some point, "You're acting like you're in a competition." And that was so embarrassing and so humiliating. But honestly, it felt really uncomfortable to watch these feelings that are like, you know, new love excitement.
Yeah, which is what it is. It is. So that Sunday when he told you.
Yeah.
How long had he known?
They'd been corresponding, I think, just that week. And then she
did that
promptly,
bother you? That...
Not that so much. Okay. Yeah, no. And she promptly sent the DNA test, and he promptly took it. So with this was all within 2 weeks' time. And then when the results came back, she said, "I've booked a ticket, and I'm coming out tomorrow." So we had not sat down with Priscilla yet.
Without talking to you guys about it, obviously.
Without asking, she told us she was coming to visit. And we had to sit down with Priscilla the night before meeting her and share with her that she has a big sister.
And how did she take it?
She was over the moon.
Right. Good for her.
Yes. So excited.
So the day after they found out that this was indeed his daughter, she came out for a visit.
She came out with a girlfriend. They got a hotel. I sent Jimmy to go meet her privately so they could have a few minutes one-on-one. And then we all got together and went to dinner. So they had their initial meeting. And then he brought, let's see, did he bring the two girls over to our house? I can't remember. But we all went out to dinner. We had a lovely time. It was through my shock and, you know, the pasted grin on my face. It really was a lovely evening. And I think we saw her once or twice more that weekend, took her to the airport, and our daughter Priscilla had a piano recital that day. And right before the piano recital, he told me that she had, when they sat down initially, once they were sitting down, she told him that his dad wasn't his dad. So we sat through that piano recital with our jaws on the floor.
Okay, so let's back up a little bit. So she, first time she meets him, and she had figured out somehow that he was an MPE.
All of her research, yes. Not only that, she had a picture.
And, oh, so she knew who his dad was.
Oh, knew who he was, had a picture, had already made contact with what would be his half-sister.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So as you can see in my sharing, I felt always on my back feet. Like, bam. Oh, bam. Oh.
Right.
And so it's been a journey like that of feeling I get recovered from one minute and then there's a new one. There's a new wave here, you know, like getting knocked down by ocean waves.
Right. Yes. Can't get past the break.
Right. And so that was week one. Okay.
That's California talk, folks.
That's right. That was week one. And then she called. Yes. Then she called week two and said, I'd like to come out with my husband and my kids to meet you. Would that be all right? And for me, my reaction was, can we wait? I knew we had plans to go to Michigan to my cousin's wedding, and I knew that this was going to impact that. But Jimmy was not prepared to hurt her feelings, said yes. So already there's tension in the marriage, in the way we're both reacting, in the way we are each reacting. They all came out. We had the funnest visit. The kids, delightful. It was so fun. Sure enough, because he missed so much work in that visit, he felt like he couldn't come to Michigan for my cousin's wedding. And I had another resentment. So that's the initial part of our journey. There have been so many moments of personality differences and ways of approaching things that have been, you know, difficult to navigate and process and adjust to. But I would say, as the wife of a newly discovered father, those initial days, those early days, they were painful. And tense.
So can you give me an example of in those early days?
Well, obviously, when he went through all the emotions that you already identify in all of your NPE listeners, in discovering that his dad wasn't his dad. So the feeling was, and in that second visit.
So trigger warning here. What Dana's about to say is, well, frankly, going to piss some of you off. And, you know, I thought about taking it out, you know, editing this part out, but I want this podcast to be real. And the reason I have her on is because I want to promote understanding. And how can I do that if I take out some of the sensitive things that she might say? So I left it in. But I just want to say that I think as NPEs, we need to be understanding of all involved. You know, what she's about to say, she's reacted because someone in her life, her husband, just had his world ripped apart. And she had her life turned upside down as well. And I think that what I love about Dana, as I do all my friends, because this is a requirement to be my friend, she has self-awareness. And she has the ability to look back at her behavior and feelings and say, oh, maybe that wasn't what I was really feeling at the time. Maybe that wasn't the best way to proceed. Whatever. She has that. And she's wide awake about that.
There was tension because I did privately say to her, I don't think it was your place to tell him that his dad wasn't his dad. If Grandma Donna, that's his mom, who has passed, didn't want him to know or had kept that secret, there must have been a reason. And her response was, there's no guidebook for any of this. And she's right. And it was only my feelings. But my feelings were fair too, because she dropped a bomb on my family and went back to the Midwest. And she doesn't know what our family dynamic is like, but that was ugly. And it was painful. And he was in tears every night and on the phone with his brother, who was devastated that they weren't full brothers. That was a journey. I know she went through all those feelings herself too, but I'm not sure that it was fair for her to decide that she was the power that gets to tell.
Let's talk about like the new love part of it and how that felt. And well, first of all, if it existed, right?
Yeah.
And what do you mean by, I mean, a lot of people describe it as it's like teenagers in love.
Yeah. Well, it felt gross to call it that given the dynamic, right? But that's just what it looked like, and that's what it felt like.
But so just tell me, like, what it looked like. Like, was he calling her all the time? Was he, like...
I mean, ear-to-ear grin. Yeah, like walking on cloud nine.
Right.
Excited. Yeah. That's the only thing I could relate it to, is that it was like a romance.
And I have to say, being on the other side of that, that what I like doing on this podcast is promoting understanding.
Yes.
And it's like, so I think it's common to have those feelings that he had. And then, but it's also, you know, common for the spouse to feel left out and rejected. And so I just like talking about that just so people can.
I think it's important. Yeah. And that's why I'm here, because I think understanding for all parties involved.
Right.
Yeah.
As NPEs, and again, have understanding, yeah. Like what we've gone through is traumatic. Like I totally almost started crying when you were talking about him crying, because yeah. I experienced that. And so all of a sudden, this new person fixes all those horrible feelings, right? And so for me, it was almost like an addiction. And
yes, that's a good word for it too.
Yeah. And, you know, I was, you know, you're talking about how it's gross saying that. Like recently, I found two people that were both heterosexual of the same sex. Mm-hmm. Who had that?
Yeah.
So,
interesting.
Prior to that, it was mostly always opposite sex. But I invited this woman to stay in my house.
Yes.
3 days after I knew her.
Right. Like,
right. So that's weird. But I mean, it does feel like, I mean, it gave me those feelings of being in love, and also the 13-year-old insecurity of being in love.
Wow.
Right? Both of those.
Profound.
And it was so horrible. And I knew like that I was putting this on these sisters to fix me, and it wasn't their job. And so I was aware of it, but I don't think it stopped me from doing it, but it was awareness. And I saw, Lisa, like you, is very, graceful and has understanding and blah, blah, blah. Must be the Michigan thing. But I could tell I was bothering her. And so I tried to get the four of us, because my sister was married. And Lisa, the four safe. Of us are going to Zoom.
Right.
Like the four of us got together, we went down there to Mexico. She lives there. Anyway, but I guess what I'm saying is, I'll say this, at least I don't listen to this part, but like because I knew it was hurting my wife, that I was giving my energy to a woman,
mm-hmm.
regardless, there's no sexual weirdness, but I was giving my energy to this woman who I loved unconditionally immediately.
Interesting.
That it bothered her. And so what that made me want to do is to hide it, so it wouldn't hurt her. Not because I was doing anything wrong, but you know what I mean? Which made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I quickly tried to I have to be out in the open. I have to be out in the open. And I don't know if I always succeeded in that.
Interesting. I mean, listening to your podcast also just gave me so much empathy. You used the word graceful, and she used the word graceful when she first met me too, which was very nice. And I was approaching it that way, even though I privately had tears and privately was very scared, uncomfortable, all those things. And then as time went on and I sort of lines kept getting crossed and, I started to feel like, okay, I have to create boundaries. And why is it always on me to create the boundaries of what's okay and what's not okay? And this is how we do things,
Right.
But that is so profound to hear you say that it healed. That's part of those butterfly feelings, is that it's healing something. I think that's really profound. And, it's interesting, too, because for Priscilla, it was the big sister she always wanted. She says that she was psychic when she was little because she used to lie in class and say that she had a big sister when everybody else was writing their family tree. And she did. I remember that I had to say to teachers, no, she really doesn't.
You got to go back and make amends for that.
Look at this. Wow.
Yeah.
The universe is something. And so for her, that was a huge gift. And she was like butterflies too. And so then I was even more out on my own,
Right.
Like the only one having these feelings of trepidation and not so pretty emotions all the time.
And, I don't know if I finished that thought earlier with NPEs are like, so we can be very demanding.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yes.
You're my family.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
So in listening to your podcast and listening to, so many people sharing their experience gave me hindsight understanding of why she had done the deep dive, why so much research was uncovered, because for sure, if you find out you are not who you thought you were, you're definitely going to want to do everything you can to find out who you are and where you come from, right? And that gave me much greater empathy and understanding, because I will say that for a while there I felt invaded, or like our home and our family had been invaded. It was other things too, like we would go somewhere and Jimmy would start to tell a story, and she would say, oh, I think I already heard this story when I went and had lunch with Rose, which was to let us know that she was having lunch with his sister. That would be off-putting. And then she would come into our house and look at family photos and say, oh, is that Jimmy's grandma? Oh, I uncovered a lot about her. She was abused by her husband. And moments like that were like, we're just getting to know each other here. For you to come in and tell us about his family that he grew up with, it's maybe not appropriate. But you see, I understand in talking with you and in listening to the other NPEs that this is all part of the discovery, right?
Yeah,
and wanting to
share.
She
probably felt like it was connection for her.
Yes,
because,
and wanting to share.
Yeah, and wanting to be part of.
Yes, wanting to be part of. There was this whole honeymoon period and a lot of expectations that we were going to be grandparents and fully, you know, holidays, blah, blah, blah. And so time has sort of dissipated some of those expectations and, you know, I'd say it's more comfortable now. It's closer to real.
But are they... When's the last time you guys have seen her?
It's been, I mean, we're in constant contact, but it's been a little more than a year since we visited.
Hmm. How do you like the Quad Cities?
I love the Quad Cities.
You do?
I mean, I'm happy to visit, not live there.
Where did you guys stay?
Well, we stayed at their, they have a guest house in Iowa.
In LeClaire, right?
In LeClaire. Charming LeClaire.
It's very charming.
Oh, it's so beautiful. But no, I can't do cold anymore. And I also just don't want to be in the Midwest anymore.
You know, so regarding this C, we'll call her. It was shocking that she lives, she lives in Clare, which is right next to Davenport, which
right.
is where I was born and
right.
where my dad lives. Mm-hmm. But I think her Facebook actually says Davenport.
Yeah.
But my first impression from her, just on Facebook, and I know Facebook's not real, right?
Right.
But the first impression she's put out there, let's say. Well, first of all, she's very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And she, it looked like a really nice house they lived in.
Oh, it's gorgeous. He's a contractor, and they built their dream home, and it is stunning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And is he from a different country?
No. No, he's also from Quad Cities.
I did stalk them a little bit.
Yeah. No, he's darling. He's lovely.
And so initially when Dana and I first talked about this, I wanted to have Jimmy and C on, how I do, and interview them separately and then weave their stories together to tell the whole story. But she never responded to them about it, and she never responded to me. And so it's just interesting that
I mean,
that she's meeting his sister and stuff. I don't know. It just, I don't know. Maybe she just felt like
One thing I wondered was if maybe some of my reactions, you know, which weren't all always favorable, maybe made her not want to share the story.
Yeah. But I think that.
Which is too bad. I feel badly if that's the case. But, you know, it's her story to tell. And so I'll only tell, you know, my experience
right.
of how this has been. But, you know, and I will say that, you know, they're family. And Jimmy is, he identifies himself as their grandfather to those kids. Oh. And so, you know.
How was her relationship with her dad growing up? Her birth certificate dad?
They were very close, but he passed away when she was a teenager. So that's trauma right there, number one. And so maybe that's partly why she wanted to do the Ancestry.com, you know, whatever. But so that may be reason for partly
yeah.
some of
oh my God, yeah.
some of her approach.
and some of
trying
her,
to heal
yeah.
past yeah. pain.
So how do you feel now? Do you feel like you've accepted her into your guys' life?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, it's hard. There's a couple things I was going to say. It's even with, you know, the discovery of my birth mother, it's managing other people's expectations and my own expectations. That's all been part of the journey, too. And letting people down because we already have our own holiday traditions or people like, you know, I spend Christmas with my family in Michigan. And it's been, I would say, for your listeners, that's one thing that I want to put out there on both sides is managing our expectations.
Yeah.
It's exciting. It's enriching. Like Jimmy's late sister Rose said, the more the merrier. And it is. But you also have to adjust yourself to the fact that you are new coming into a family that already has established relationships and respecting those feelings and other people's time is one thing. And then I would say, as you shared, that for families of, the greatest gift you can give each other is active listening. Because as you shared, anyone who's discovered that their parent wasn't their parent is already suffering the trauma of rejection, because it's rejection just to not be told the truth, right? Number one, and feelings of abandonment. And they just need to be heard and validated and embraced.
Is Jimmy, we've talked about a lot here today. I don't know. Is Jimmy's dad, biological dad, still alive?
No. So that was part of my upset, was that there was no, she gets to meet her unexpected biological father, but he doesn't get to meet his. And his mom is no longer with us, so he couldn't ask her all the questions. So he's been left to process all that, like you.
Did he have any siblings from that?
Well, yes. Yeah, so there's two or even three half-sisters. And Jimmy's daughter is in contact with one, but Jimmy has not reached out directly to her yet. He's just not ready. Hmm. So
that's interesting that he was so open to the daughter, but not to the...
Right.
I'm not judging that. Well, but I think trying to process.
I think just like me, it's been so much, right?
Yeah.
It's been overwhelming, all of it. So it's just been a matter of time and processing. And it was painful for his brother. So, you know, just there's been a lot of dynamics. So he just hasn't gone there yet, but he does want to.
Yeah. So it's interesting. So this woman turned up on the sister that I helped find biological family.
Yeah.
Sister I grew up with. This woman turned up on an ancestry really related to her. And so I was trying to figure out how. And I narrowed it down to, it had to be her half-niece.
Hmm.
And the woman knew who her mom was, but she didn't know the dad or something like that. And so I'm like, okay, so it has to be half-niece, which would be my sister's half-brother's daughter.
Wow.
From Illinois. And wow. I'm like... Oh my God.
Gosh, what it's was my going fucking on daughter. In Illinois?
No, but I thought it was, for like 10 minutes, I thought it was my daughter.
Wow.
Right? And I was just like, the fear that went through me, like, it was just this And it wasn't true. It couldn't have been true because it was on, I mean, just genetically. But it took me a minute to figure that out. But like, it is a shocking thing from everyone's point of view.
Yeah, I've been joking for the last 5 years that Ancestry.com ought to foot the bill for all the marriage and family counseling that's needed for every connection that they're putting together with their DNA matches.
Exactly.
But you know, your podcast is a bit of a guidebook, right?
Yeah, there are a lot of tools.
Yeah.
But that's only been recently, really.
Right.
I don't think 5 years ago, I don't think a lot of the tools that exist now didn't exist then.
No. Well, I always used to say, or have said, to Jimmy's daughter that she should go work for that Cece Moore, I think is her name. And I was just thinking while you were talking just now, you should go work for Cece Moore because that's catching the bad guy. It's awesome.
Yeah, I would love to do that, actually. I mean, I get so...
It's kind of an art.
Like when you were talking about your dad earlier, I was asking those questions like, we're going to find out if he's really your dad. Give me the sign-in information. I'll figure it out. And then the same thing with your twin sisters. I'm like, I was thinking it was the same dad that...
Right.
And I'm like, because anytime Lisa, I drive her crazy. Like I'll say, if somebody, like, is there age gap between kids? I mean, that's a huge sign that it's an NPE.
Right.
It really is.
It is.
But so when you said they were 10 years old or younger or 12 years, I'm like, oh, they're NPEs.
Yeah, no.
All of a sudden, mama can have kids.
Right.
But yeah, I absolutely love figuring it out. There's nothing.
It's like a puzzle.
Yeah.
And it's also like an art, actually, going through and tracing back in the family tree. I mean, it is fascinating.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's logic. And you get to find the missing pieces.
Right. Right. Well, and that gave me, greater empathy for, you know, all of those early days when all that information was being introduced to us.
Well, I think C is lucky to have you as a... So are you like a stepmother now?
What is she? It's so funny. When we were first getting to know each other, one of the kids said to me, if we call him Grandpa Jimmy, then what do we call you? And I said, you can call me Dana, sweetie.
Keep that G word to yourself. Yes.
Not there yet.
Yeah. And how old was Jimmy when?
He's only 21 years older than her, right. You know, which is that's a kid. But, you know.
I hope someday that she wants to tell her story on missing pieces.
I think it would be so fun if both of them sat down and also maybe like another layer of healing, too, because they have a great story, you know, and a happy one, because not all NPEs have had happy stories. And so it's nice to hear. It's nice to hear the joyful side of it.
Yeah.
You know?
It is. And it's, I mean, but it is nice. Like, I mean, thank you for being open. Like,
yeah.
Like, I don't speak for all MPs, but I do have a microphone. But like, it's so. I don't want to say uncommon, but it's not as common as we would like that people react the way you do, even though you had those feelings, which you're totally entitled to have. Like, you still handled it with grace and understanding and let her into your lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is, it's so complicated.
It's so complicated. But, you know, I think change is hard for anybody. And there's a lot of fear, you know? And then there are some, you know, there's some bad stories out there too. I mean, you know, like people finding their biological parents and then they want to borrow money from them, you know, just like, just crazy stuff like that. So you can understand how people get cautious and protective of, and you know, that was scary too, that, you know, here we had this family that we built and now there's going to be this whole new entry.
Yeah. It is. It's like, I mean, it's not like you found a second cousin once removed.
Right.
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 All of a sudden your husband has a
grown-ass daughter with two kids and a husband.
And he's a grandpa.
Yeah. So, well, thanks for coming on and telling this unique side of the story.
Yeah.
And encourage them to
You know, I hope it's helpful. I hope it's helpful for people who are just beginning on their journey, you know. Keep your heart open. Be enthusiastic. Be excited about the discovery. Just remember to be compassionate and considerate and courteous.
All sides.
All parties involved.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
It is so, I'm not going to say complicated again, but anyway, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
I'd like to thank Dana for coming on once again and sharing her story with us. My name's Don Anderson, and I'm the host of Missing Pieces, NPE Life. I'd like to thank Billy Sullivan of Sully Stone Music for all the music on today's episode. You can go to sullystone.com to check out his library. If you want to reach Don, you can email me at donnpe@icloud.com. Or you can reach out to me on Instagram at npe_life_podcast. And thanks again, everyone. Have a great Thanksgiving, and I'll see you on the next episode of Missing Pieces.